Father, we thank you for the privilege to hear your word today. We thank you for all the kids ministry teacher helpers that will help our kids to know more of you. And as we all together will stay here and listen from what you want to say to us, please bless our hearts, open our hearts, and please bless, thank Tanteraka as he's going to speak from you, your word, Lord, not his word, and bless this time that we'll have together with him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go for it.
Can I have the mic? I need the mic to preach from. And yeah, it's really a great privilege for me to be here today. And if I'm not mistaken, last time when I was here, I was saying that my wife was pregnant, expecting for the fourth one. And today, I'm very privileged to announce to you that she's not expecting for the fifth one. So, yeah, really, it's, for me, it's always a pleasure to be here. Don't worry, Tanya. More job for you, eh? Yeah. But it's really, for me, it's really a privilege to be here. When Kim sent me the message and invited me to preach for today, I really should not be here. But I couldn't resist the temptation. You know, if it's a temptation at all. But I really tried to do my best so that I can be here. Because as much as I can encourage you, you guys are really such an encouragement for me personally, for us as a church. You've been supporting us for the past 7 years. And we always joke when you guys kicked me out of this church. But that's not really true. You've blessed us. You've sent us with your love, with your support. And in case you didn't know that, you are a church on a mission. If you did not see that, is this a church that does mission? It is. And we couldn't exist in a sense if you haven't supported us financially, spiritually, with your prayer, and with the support of Tim and Sue, and just all of the eldership team. And my other request this morning is, how can I be back here and part of the eldership team? Because Kim now is in Switzerland, Craig is back from Bali, Denis is back also from Reunion, I guess. I also want to go somewhere, you know. What can I do? But no, really, it's good, and you guys have some great faithful men in this church. And that's why I don't take this as just because Kim is not here, then the pulpit is open. But really, it's such a humbling moment for me to be invited and then to preach and to share the word of God to us this morning. So let's turn our Bible from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and we'll be reading from verse 19 until verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 until 25. I know I have a certain accent, so if you do not understand, and if I'm speaking too fast in my own accent, just raise your hands. And because it's a preaching, no question, I'll just take that as speak slowly. So feel free to do that, and that will really help me as well. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 until 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I'd like to encourage us this morning from this passage of Hebrews, and one of the commentary when they says about from verse 19 there in chapter 10, most of them would agree that there is a great turning point from the previous few chapters, from verse 1 until from chapter 1 until chapter 9 and 10, just before that. And as we've just read in verse 19 there, it is mentioned to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, and that is through his flesh. Basically, what is stated there and in verse 20 is the summary of what the writer has been saying from verse 1, from chapter 1, verse 1, until chapter 10, verse 18. And that is about the great salvation, the great redemption, the great work of Jesus Christ that he did for us, which is mentioned there, let us. He did it for us on the cross. Or in other words, what he did for his elect. And those elect are those people who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. And it is very encouraging, and it is very interesting as well at the same time for me in terms of the turning point that the writer is making here. Because he is appealing to them. He is moving from what Christ has done and then asking now the people on whose behalf Christ was working for. So now from him working for them, in a sense we can take it as he is asking the people, now you do this for me. And please don't mistake me this morning, because it's not about work for your salvation, but he's trying to move from the work of salvation that has been done by Christ, and now the work of faith from within us that is shown outside. And sometimes I think in these days that we live, and I'm sure not only now, but it's been through the church history, there are lots of people who will say, I know Jesus. I believe in the cross of Christ. But there is no fruit at all in terms of their faith and belief in Christ Jesus. And that's why in the book of James is saying, like, prove your faith through your work. Because I'll prove my faith to you through my work. And I'd like to encourage us this morning, some of the things that this passage is saying, is asking, or is appealing unto us. What should we do then? Because of the blood of Christ, because of this new way, because of Christ being our high priest, and he ushered us into his presence, into the presence of God. Through Christ we've been adopted to be the sons and daughters of God. Through Christ we've been forgiven of our sins. Through Christ we've been given the Holy Spirit. Especially when I say about, like, through faith in Christ we've received the Holy Spirit, that's really for me like reminding me of my past, because there was a time I thought, because of certain teaching, I thought, like, maybe I receive Christ first, I believe in him first, then sometimes later after I'm more mature, after a few hours of prayers, after a few months of walking with Jesus, after a few years of walking with Jesus, only then I deserve the Holy Spirit. But no, there won't be a time where I can deserve the Holy Spirit. It won't come at all. Only through Christ, by faith. So if you believe in him, you have the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says so. When the word was preached and you believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to encourage us. That's what happened when you gave your life, when you accepted Christ, when you received Christ in your life. And there are 4 points that I'd like to appeal and encourage this morning. But before that, I'd like also to show unto us, and I am very, very glad with the what Tudzu just showed now about the membership of the church. Because one, just think about the Lord's Prayer. One of the most famous thing in our culture today and even in Christianity today is the worship of self. Me, me, me. But doesn't it sound interesting, or in a sense, God, Jesus is revealing unto us, even in the Lord's Prayer. He says, my Father in heaven, or our Father in heaven. It's not by mistake. We believe in the scripture. Every word in the scripture are God breathed. It's not by accident that it is we, that it is our, that it is us, not I, me, and myself. The church is us. God saved us. Which means it is impossible. There is no such thing as a churchless Christianity. There is no such thing as it's only me and God and my radio. By my radio it says like I'm listening to the preaching on the radio or my TV. It was always we. And I'd like to suggest that that's even better. That's better. That's good. Because then it's not me alone, it's not you alone, it's us together. It's us together. That's what Christ did on the cross. That's why he came, to ransom us, to purchase us through his blood. And that's the purpose of God our Father, is to save, redeem, create one new man that we call the Church of God. That's why even as I'm going through this, I came here this morning, as we see later on, one of the let us that I'm going to share today is like, let us not neglect the meeting together. I'm like, these guys are already meeting together. But that's why we are here. I want it to sound as in some form of encouragement from the Word of God. So let's see carefully in that those two words there, let us, and the word also, we, that God has brought us together here. It's not by accident. It is by his will. It was ordained by God. And that's why we believe in him. Even the faith that we have. Sometimes I'm really grateful to God for choosing me. Not me choosing him, but he chose me. For giving me faith. There were people that were better than me in my class. There were people that were better than me in my neighborhood. But sometimes I'm like, why me, God? Because he has bought me. And the same thing applied to you this morning. And if you haven't responded yet, if you do not believe, I'd like you to consider and listen. See. Listen to Christ. Listen to his word this morning. He wants to save you. He wants to believe in you. He wants you to believe in him. He wants you to be saved. And he's done all for us on the cross. So let us see the first let us, the exhortation, the first appeal from the writer of the book of Hebrews this morning, from verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What he's saying there is for us to know what we have already obtained. As we come here this morning, I was excited because the music was loud. You guys were excited already. But sometimes I see in some churches, I'm sure it's not here, it's only in Analacheli. The first song is like the, you know, when you do, you know, my body is like this, but I'm actually fit. But sometimes the first song, we feel like it's a warm up first. God is not yet present, but we are going to invite him through our warming. Let's get excited a little bit. But if we look at what is stated there, God is already here and we have a direct access in his presence by his blood. Not because of our own excitement, not because of the music, but because of the music of the cross. Music of God, salvation. He wants us to draw near together. Together. I've been the pastor here before, Kevin. He was really risking. I've never been really a worship leader before. The first time I was really a real worship leader was here in this church. But I want to tell you something. If you really want to help your worship leader, if you really want him to lead you in worship, consider what this word is saying. That you have direct access to God. Let that be the one that unites your hearts. Not just like, this song I don't like so much. This one, let it be about Jesus. Come together. Revive yourself in him. And from that place, sing out to him. Raise your hands or be excited. That's fine and that's normal. But first from a place where we know that it is actually because of Christ. And let us draw near with the true heart and full assurance of faith. Be sure that he is here and we have an access, direct access unto him. He is here. When you call upon him, he is there. He is with us. His presence that marks the life of the people of God. The presence of God. Doesn't that remind you of Moses' story? When God told him like, okay, I'm going to create a new nation when he says to, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you the land that I've promised you, but I won't go. What did Moses say? Well, I've got the promise. Bye-bye, God. Thank you. Thank you for the thing, but bye-bye, giver of the thing. What did he say? What else is there for us if you do not come with us? And Jesus has granted that to us as his people through the cross, through his salvation. And may our thinking, may our thoughts believe in those words, in the work of Christ this morning. And that I just would like to mention there that our bodies washed with pure water, that does not mean water baptism. It's still speaking of some aspect of the work of the cross. Speaking about the words of Jesus, our Lord, who is sanctifying us, who is washing us, and even as this morning, encouraging us, giving us boldness. And even giving boldness, it's not in a sense of like emotion, but in a sense of that's the fact. The fact is that we have a direct access in the presence of God. So let us draw near to God. Secondly, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised that, who promised is faithful. What he's saying there is, sometimes for us together, church is not only here when we meet here together. This let us appeal and exhortation and encouragement is not only for us when we come together, but it's when we scatter throughout the week. And sometimes when you go somewhere there, you feel like, is this Christianity thing really working? Do I really have hope? Is there really such a thing as life after death? But there, it's stated there. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. So what do we confess? We are confessing Jesus. We have faith in Him. What is our hope? Our hope is the better place. Our hope is Jesus. Our hope is that one day we will see the universal church. We will see people from, in a sense, I'm jealous of that because most of you, there's different nations here, different languages, different color of skin. But one day we'll see that in heaven, all of us coming together, and guess what? We will understand one another, and guess what? We will not hate one another. They won't any sin. And that's the hope that we have. And he's encouraging us here to hold fast to our confession. Or another way, he's encouraging us together. Let's watch over our lives and let it be the voice of the work of God. Let it be the fruit of salvation throughout the week. For it matters to God. And that's how we can encourage one another. And the hope here is, I really want to see us that the hope that that the scripture, that the word of God wants us to see is the hope that God will certainly bring us unto Him. Now we only see part of it. Now we only see so little. But when that day comes in verse 25, the last part there, and all the more as you see the day, that day, when that day comes, I tell you, all of us here who believe in Christ, when that day comes, there's no words to describe the joy that will happen on that day. The expression of our face will be joyful. If I can't wait for that day, then the truth will be revealed. That which is what is really in terms of just the outside look is six pack, the real thin, or just the one pack. That day will reveal it. Not sure if, but that day. I can't wait for that day. That day I can jump back again. You know, now I'm only, my age is, how old am I? I'm not that young, 35, 36, 35. But now sometimes I do something like if I play basketball today, tomorrow I'm going to pay. I'll be like, But when that day comes, He will resurrect me in a new body. And those are things that we need to look forward to. That God is faithful. Jesus is faithful. And what we do now is not in vain. What we are enduring now is not comparable to what we will receive then. So that's why let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Do not doubt. When the doubt comes, consider about us. You're not alone in your trial. All of us are in there. Sometimes I feel like, for example, Elijah. What did he say when he was tired? God, it's only me. I'm the only one who's faithful. He was discouraged. He was disappointed. As if God was not doing His work. So what did God told him? No. There are other 7,000 elected, saved. So let us consider that. All of us together. Thirdly, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So we are also commanded here to stir up one another to love and good works. There is two things that the writer wants to say there in terms of stir up to love and then to good works. I really like the comment of Jesus, the statement that Jesus said, by this, the people will know that you are my disciples. By what? By your singing loud. by your outreach, by your praying in the morning. Those are all good things. And those are all also commended by the word, by our Lord. But by this, you'll be known that you are truly my disciple, by your loving of one another. I don't know, it's not easy. It's not easy for me to love, Tuzo. Sometimes I really pray a lot for you guys. Like, it's not easy to love one another, because loving one another is not just in church or in the church meeting. And I'm not sure if you do it here, but sometimes I love the church that I was before. I'm grateful to God. But at the same time, I'm also kind of discerning, and it helps me to think and, you know, to just kind of slowly do the right thing. But you used to have those songs love one another, love one another, and take the hands and turn to him or her and tell him, I love you in Christ and you are my sisters in Christ. And I'm always like, it's like kind of awkward, like it's the first time I see this one close to me. And she's pretty beautiful, and he says that I must tell her, I love you. So the love of one another that is stated here is not that kind of loving of one another. Just by words, just outwards, but it's more inwardly. It's more of the practice of it. It's more about, there's lots of one another in the New Testament. And loving one, the love there is really practicing those one another. Bear with one another's burden. Galatians chapter 6. And I was really struck this morning, one of the guys who preached by us there, when he said that word. Do you actually know what is the burden there? Bear with one another's burden. He's actually saying, bear one another's sin. It's in Galatians chapter 6. But how is it that for us to judge one another, especially if you did not fail in that areas that he failed? It's easy for us to say, oh, my brother or my sister, do you see that this is how I behave and you failed? Such a baby Christian. That's not loving one another. That's not covering one another's shame. But we're supposed to cover one another's shame. And I commend you. I need it. I need you to love me. And you need me to love you in God, in the fear of God. And there's lots of healing. There's lots of growth that will happen through loving one another truly according to the scripture, according to the law of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave us, Jesus. For Jesus so loved us that he gave his life for us. So likewise for us too, let us love one another. Let us stir up one another to love. Encourage yourself to love others. Encourage others to love others. Kill the gossips. I know we are a church. We are all holy people here. But gossips exist in the church. My dad was a pastor, so since I was not, even when I wasn't yet born, I was already in the church. That's why I know in the church there are gossips. When I wasn't yet born again, I knew there were gossips. People were speaking bad to one another. Instead of encouraging one another, they were competing against one another. Instead of elevating or pushing someone else forward, they were like, no, come back with us. It's like, there's nothing of love about it. So I really want to ask you this morning, stir up one another to love. And then secondly, to good works. What are the good works? It could range from good works as praying, reading the Bible. Those are all good works. I believe in that. But at the same time, good works also there could be like helping others. Sometimes it doesn't have to come from the leaders. Sometimes it can come from amongst you. Let us do this thing. Let us do this together. Let us do good to one another. And even in, I think it's in Galatians again, chapter 6 or 5, if I'm mistaken, it's somewhere in the Bible, especially to the believers. Do good to the believers. Where we are downtown in Analacheli, we do a lot of good works, especially to the non-believer. But recently, after I read the Bible, I've been, in a sense, slightly corrected that the good works, first that the Bible is saying is to one another as members of the family of God. It is good to the other ones still exist, but especially to the family of God. And that's when these days, and there are lots of people and doing social ministry, justice ministry, that is good. But as a Christian, first, the good works need to work amongst ourselves. And even there, again, I'd like to commend you. You've done that to us as a church. You're still doing that to us as a church. So please encourage one another to do good works. Do good works. Then fourthly, let us not neglect the meeting together, as is the habit of some. Can we pause a little bit there, as is the habit of some? If you were honest with yourself this morning, the word of God will redeem you. But first, for you to know that you need to be redeemed, you need to be condemned. Why would you want redemption without being condemned? But if you were looking in that word, don't think about someone else. Think about yourself now. Will you be part of that, as is the habit of some? Because he's not saying there, he's not saying about the non-Christian. He's not speaking about the non-believers. He's speaking about the Christians, the ones that have faith in Christ. Am I part of this? Those ones that have this habit of neglecting the meeting together or not? If we read even Jesus himself, Luke chapter 4, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue. And what did he do there? The meeting together. As was his custom. By custom, he says, as was his habit. Jesus did it. So I know Jesus is our Savior, but at the same time, when we are saved, he is our example. So I'd like us, even for me, once again, I said, like I was raised in a Christian family. If there is one thing that I can thank my God for, is the way my dad for, is the way he raised me in a godly way, in a Christian discipline. And one of them was the meeting together. I really, as I mentioned before, I was one of those guys. I really like to play basketball. And most of the time, good games happens on Sunday morning. Serious? I'm serious. It happens on Sunday morning. It's like, then sometimes your friends or the coach says like, can you come? And then, no, you'll be playing and I'll make you one of the starting five. To me, being the starting five was like, yes. Then you go to your dad. Dad, this Sunday, no. I knew the answer was coming, no. We go to the meeting of the church. Why? Why? I didn't understand it back then, but now I know. Not only because I am a pastor. So that you're afraid, because you're a pastor, and if I don't come there on Sunday, you don't have a job, right? You don't have anyone to preach to, right? Or even worse, you don't have someone to pay the offering. You wouldn't survive, or I don't know. But I see my dad didn't raise me, in a sense, in his own wisdom, but under the authority of God's word. And I'd like to encourage us this morning, do not neglect the meeting together. And I'm not saying that you must be there every Sunday. What I'm saying is like when coming to church on a Sunday morning becomes an option. When it becomes the second option, third option. When there's nothing interesting to do, let's go to church today. But if there are something else that happens, it's not a big deal. But allow the word of God to speak and encourage, correct us this morning. It is so essential for us to come together. So once again, not in a legalistic way, but because of what God does. And I really believe, if you download or if you listen on the internet about what was the preaching last Sunday, you can still learn something. But there is something that God is doing particularly when the saints of God come together and listen together. That you can't get that from the radio, you can't get that from the TV. But when we come together, God works. God is there. There's something that he does. And that's why the writer here is writing unto them, please let us do not neglect the meeting together. As well as, it's not only Sunday meeting, maybe if you go to home group, those are small groups, it's part of it too. So I really want to encourage you. Do not go there because you have to, but please go there because you get to spend your time with other people that knows the Lord, that are pursuing the ways of the Lord. And in closing, I'd like to say to us, there's lots of questions in my life, in your life, as a human being. What is God's will for me? Am I really called to be a pastor? Am I really called to be a businessman or a businesswoman? Am I really called to be a lawyer? Am I really called to be, not sure what's your vocation or what is the desire of your heart? But one of the things that really settles it for me, even before I was a pastor, is to know what is Jesus busy building or doing right now. What is he doing now? Because if I want to know his will for me now, I need to know what he is doing now. And Matthew 16, verse 18 or 19 is the answer. I tell you, Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. And that's not a worship of the church as an organization or as a group of believers. It's just stating what Jesus is doing. So if you really want to know what is God's will for your life, be the church. Be the church. And those four things I said, like let us journey to God together with boldness in his presence. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let us not neglect the meeting together. Those are all being of the church. Yes, it's a doing, but it comes from the being. And that is what Jesus is doing right now. And I tell you, there is nothing worth in this life on earth more than doing what God wants you to do. All other things, it will be wasted. One thing that will go from this life to that life will be doing what He wants you to be, and that is, I will build my church. Christ will come back again for His bride, and that is the church. And even in saying that, I'd like to submit to you, even when I say church, don't just look it in a way like, oh, this is what you mean. Ah, this is how I view the church. But how God actually described the church as the church. His bride. His army. His saved ones. The people of God. Because one day he will finish the story. And His promise will happen. That we will be His people. He will be our God. His presence will literally be with us. And that is what He's doing. He's building His church. He's coming back for His church. Let us pray. God, our Father, we together want to come to You this morning. We want to submit ourselves under You, under Your word. We are not made to worship ourselves. Our comfort zone won't satisfy us. And You are gracious to us that You have revealed this morning unto us Your will from Your word. I want to pray that Your spirit that You have given to us through faith in Christ will work in us, will convict us of our sin, will convict us that You are a good Father and You are drawing us to repent. And repentance is but a gift. And You also have encouraged us in the good things that we have already done. May we hear that too, Father. That as You encourage us, as You correct us, You are building Your church. Jesus, thank You for being faithful. Bring peace into our minds, of the questions that we have this morning. Bring peace through the revealed word that You have given unto us. And I pray in Your name, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank You, guys.